We're getting a flood of questions, Franklin. Can we go longer? Okay, so historically, mining stocks are very cheap right now, but analysts are divided as to their potential. Some look for a big rise, others cite high costs of mining, labor agitation, risk of government seizing newly discovered deposits, dilution of shares due to executive stock options, and new precious metal taxes as reasons why mining shares will continue to fall in value. What do you think? If already holding gold and silver bullion, what would you suggest to replace mining stocks in a portfolio?
Well, I think mining stocks are stocks, and that behave more like stocks than they are like precious metals. So if you get a big decline in the stock market, they'll go down. In addition to that, Ian McAvity, who's he's a great technical analyst who's been around since dirt, and he keeps pointing out, he points out over and over that if you look at the performance of gold and silver stock indices in the 1980s, or in 19, the period from 1970 to 1980, they do not outperform bullion. So you're just adding an additional layer of enterprise risk into your investment when you buy gold and silver stocks or mining stocks instead of bullion.
Well, they, the mining stocks significantly underperformed not just gold and silver, but the equity markets. So they didn't in any way track with equities this year. They were at mining stocks. Yeah. So if you look at Tocqueville Fund, for example, is down 11% this year, versus gold being up 4 to 7%. So, in equity markets being even stronger. So.
Well, the mining stocks suffer from another problem, and that is that SLV and GLD have taken out all of the logic of investing in mining stocks. They've trumped that logic. Why would you buy mining stocks when you can get the direct kick of gold and silver by investing in the ETFs? And in
right.
a mining stock, of course, you have the added enterprise risk.
Right.
So I think that's one of the things that's made mining stocks underperform for the last 10 years nearly.
Right. Although if you look at the current price now, I'm not sure now's the time to switch. They're pretty far down. Okay. Well, the value of precious metals. I've asked that one. I'm looking forward to the webcast tonight. I've recently learned about hidden gold in the Philippines. Chinese gold looted by the Japanese and then hidden in tunnels during World War II. To me, the story sounds like it could be true. I'm wondering if Catherine and Franklin buy into the story as well. And if so, what is the potential impact of these hidden treasures to the rest of the world, particularly precious metals investors?
Well, can I take a second and explain the background of this?
You bet.
Okay. I have just finished reading a book called Gold Warriors by Barry Seagraves. And if anybody wants to know about this issue, I recommend that they read that book. But basically what happened was that the Japanese, with the most brutal efficiency, looted all of Asia that came under their power. And when I say looted, I mean they had army squads who literally went door to door gathering up all the gold, silver, and foreign currency they could get. In addition, they had criminal syndicates that they worked with. They worked with Japanese criminal syndicates that in turn worked with the native syndicates in China and in other places to collect all the gold and silver they could from individuals. Add to that they ran the heroin and morphine opium trade. The Japanese ran that from Manchuria into China and into most of Asia. So they collected enormous amounts of gold and silver. They built these tunnels in Japan, and they used slave labor to do it, including Allied prisoners of war, Chinese and Koreans. And then they would once they got the tunnel filled, they would herd these people into them and blow the tunnels, explode the explosives to seal the tunnels and seal the workers inside. The problem with this gold is that after the war, they elected, they arrested the Allies under MacArthur, arrested General Yamashita, who was the last Japanese general in charge in the Philippines, and they couldn't torture him, but they got his driver, Major Kojima, and they tortured out of him the location of some of these caches. And then MacArthur knew about this. This was reported to Washington, and instead of making it public, what they did was they used the gold that they recovered as a fund to fund the Cold War. That is an off-budget fund, black money, you'd call it, to fund the Cold War. Now, they did the same thing in Europe with the so-called Black Eagle gold that the Nazis had gathered. There's still more caches in the Philippines that have never been recovered. Some have been recovered. Marcos recovered some, and the story goes on. But the point is that the CIA, apparently, or American intelligence, got control of gold and used it. And it's very difficult to get an idea of what amount of gold we're talking about, but clearly it is maybe as much as 10 times what the central banks of the West of the world report in reserves, and that they report about, what, 25,000 tons, something like that. The question that arises in my mind is, this book appeared in 2003, and I'm just suspicious enough to wonder if during 2003, when they were trying to suppress the gold price, when the United States government was trying to suppress the gold price anyway, if they would not have let something like this be published with the idea that the kernel of the story is, oh my, there's 10 times as much gold out there as anybody thought there was, and therefore don't buy gold because there's much more supply than anyone suspects. I don't know. It's who knows, which is real and which is Memorex. Who can ever tell? But the point is that there's a huge amount of gold out there. It was used to fund American undercover operations or intelligence operations all through the 1950s, 60s, 70s, and till today. And so that's the burden of the story of Yamashita's gold.
Well, the kernel of truth that I've always believed is everything I've ever seen throughout my life, Franklin, is that the secret cash, that gold is the currency for the black budget and the people trying to control and manage the world. It is the ultimate dark pool, and those gold caches. So in that sense, it fits with the story. And I never told you about the evening I spent with Imelda Marcos in her townhouse in New York, did I? Someday I'll tell you that story. Yes. 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 Okay, two comments on some of your chart comments. Gaps may be a reflection of the futures market manipulation, just a timing issue of the open and close of U.S. markets. Regarding charts, looking at the correlation of the price of gold and debt, it would appear that the price of gold has to rise. So I think he agrees with us. With J.P. Morgan holding such a huge short position in controlling the price of silver, when and how can this control be broken? You want me to take that? I've never believed it's a J.P. Morgan Chase position. I think it's an exchange stabilization fund position. And if you don't understand the exchange stabilization fund, it really pays to take the time. There's a video that someone did on it that we put up on the blog. My favorite story on the exchange stabilization fund is in Christopher Simpson's book, Blowback. The exchange stabilization fund is a U.S. government fund which is managed by the New York Fed, on reporting directly to the Secretary of Treasury, which is why Mr. Jack Lew's position is so important here. And but is managed by J.P. Morgan Chase and any other private bank anointed by the New York Fed. Remember, New York Fed is owned by J.P. Morgan Chase and the other member banks. And so they are acting as agent as the US government. And so literally, that short position is managed for the benefit of somebody who has a standing army and a nuclear arsenal. And so I don't see how that position can be broken without breaking the US federal credit and the US military. So that's quite a strong position. Anyway, so in Christopher Simpson's book, Franklin, they seized the money from the Nazis. They put it in the Exchange Stabilization Fund. It's sitting in the Exchange Stabilization Fund, and the Dulles brothers are sitting at Sullivan and Cromwell and decide to use it to rig the Italian elections at the request of the Vatican. And I've often said that the history of US finances since that time is a story of the different manipulations done to replenish that slush fund. But that, I don't, I think that's a US government position. I think the idea that JP Morgan Chase has that position and it can be broken is not a feasible view of the world. And it was very interesting because we had the head of commodity, the head of the commodity markets at Morgan giving a speech, I think it was sometime last year, saying that they don't, that they don't have big long positions or big short positions. And then a big brouhaha because everybody's saying, well, Morgan must be lying. I don't think they're lying because I don't think they're, I think they're taking that position as an agent, not as a principal. Okay, a couple more. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, the person who charges that they have this big short position doesn't understand that nobody carries, no trader carries a big short position. You carry a flat position. And so if you've got a position that's short, what you're trying to do is work out of it all the time. So J.P. Morgan Chase certainly is bright enough to know not to carry a huge, unhedged short position. If there is a short position, it has to be the federal government. It can't be J.P. Morgan.
Right.
I mean, logically.
I'm interested in hearing if Franklin believes 2013 should be a time to sell, and if he believes that 2015.75 is a turning point for the global economy.
I don't have a date in mind. What I've got are targets in mind, and I'll be glad to share my targets with you.
Please
It's very
do.
simple. Whenever you see the price of gold in terms of silver at less than 16 ounces, the price of the entire Dow at less than 1 ounce of gold or 16 ounces of silver, then it's time to sell.
Oh, see, I'm a much bigger chicken than you. I'm at 25. I'll start doing it at 25. Okay, one more. One of the problems that we have with silver is that silver becomes illiquid at the top. And so I have two plans for getting out of silver before the top. The silver becomes very illiquid. So my question is, will you look at the ratio to make your decision, or what exactly will be the driver that screams sell? So I'm at 25 and you're at 16. Is that for, okay. I always, that's my, I'm traditionally, my history is I get out early.
Well, let me just point out that there's another way around that, and a way that I've just recently explored, and that is that you can put your silver in a vault, in a COMEX acceptable vault. You can swap it into 1,000 ounce bars and do it that way. The other alternative is to swap into gold when the ratio is about 20 to 1. And ride out the balance of the market in gold instead of silver. So that's two ways to do it. But you can't hold the silver yourself in your own hands and expect to get out at full value at the top of the market. That would be a mistake.
Right. Or you're running quite a risk. One more question. $1 trillion platinum coin. Do you or Franklin have light to shed on this proposal? Are you familiar with the proposal, Franklin?
Oh, yes, I am.
What?
Right. I am. Yeah, I'm laughing because what they say is that they would, because the law is written in such a way that they can mint a platinum coin with any denomination they want, that all they have to do is mint one that says $1 trillion and the federal government deposits that with the Fed and all its troubles are over. Well, that's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous because that's doing the same thing that they're already doing. It's just printing one piece of something instead of, you know, a billion or a trillion pieces of something. But that idea is not going to go anywhere. I mean, they've talked about it, but that shows you how desperate they are if they...
Okay.